Before we do anything, I just want to say how much I love and appreciate our worship team, and that includes the back to the front. The time you spend throughout the week, the effort in selecting songs, the blending together, the sacrifice of whatever you have going on that's very high priority. I appreciate you. And Christian, welcome to the stage this morning for your first time. I want to say thank you to them. You know, churches, especially small churches like this on an island where we don't know what the talent looks like or where it's coming from, that is a blessing to have on the stage. So I start with that to say I'm fully alive, so to speak, this morning from your selection of songs. That was fantastic. It really was. And of course, that last one, the verses of My Defender. What a song. The battle's over. I mean, what do you need to do? How's that feel this morning? You know, it's off your shoulders. You're my defender. Hallelujah. I can just let go of this. You're my great defender. You bring back the head of the enemy. I didn't even do anything but bow down. We can close in prayer right now. Is anybody okay with that? It's a message and a song, all those songs. And it hit where it needed to this morning. And I'm so glad I was a part of worship this morning. Thank you, guys. Thank you for all that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man. This title is not going to work with that kind of greeting.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. How's it going? What a week. What a challenging week to fight for the rest that Catalina was providing, right? Did you feel the force of the wind and the slash of the rain? Did you go face them and fight them, be savage again, right? Ralph Emerson. Good stuff this week. The challenge was there. The harbor was moving. The sky was moving. The fire breaks were flowing. The grass is growing. In another month or so, the flowers are going to go nuts. Catalina. Catalina. One of the jewels of the Eight Channel Islands. And it's all here. It's all available to you. This morning is one of those things where if you knew you had a short window of time, I love these answers. And Reed put out the question. He gave you a few years to live. Now, that's pretty good. I heard some wild stuff this morning, even coming from my own daughter. I'd skydive without a parachute. Nice. Nice. Okay? That would end it really quick. I'm not sure if you want to go that quick. But we're starting a new series this morning. It's called Fully Alive. I have no idea where this will end. I just know that this is not going to be the ending today. That is a picture of me on top of Pacaya Volcano in Guatemala, a series of volcanoes I had a chance to hike over a couple of summers. And literally after that picture was taken, I'm not joking, 2.5 weeks later, that whole area is gone. It blew up. And it was percolating while we were up there, but that whole section is gone. And I remembered hearing that and seeing that online. Just all the stuff at top is now on the bottom, and just the damage and everything that happened down below. But just to think, I was standing there, and that's no longer there. It does something inside me. It's softened a few corners, if you will, okay? To stand where, man, I can't believe I even had a chance to stand there. Some of your big wave riders, perhaps, or maybe been on an airplane, something was sketchy, and you couldn't touch down where you were supposed to land, and it circled forever or redirected. You've had those moments. And some of you are in that workforce where you have those moments every day. You face those moments every day. And then there's some uncertainty even on the zip line with the weather that's there. I have no idea. I just know that there are different adventures. Some of them are casual, right? Rock climbing on a fake rock wall. It'll wake you up. And then there's those critical adventures, the ones that you wish you were on the fake rock wall, but you found yourself in a really big situation. And you know only God's going to get me out of this one. Or I have to trust something way bigger than myself and let go of this. And one moment at a time. Okay? And it's life on the line stuff. The idea behind this in the next few weeks is, if you knew that, if the information was given to you early, what would you value? And that's where I've been sitting all week. In fact, there's that photograph of me sitting there staring at silver. Canyon right here behind Avalon, that was taken 1 week ago today. And this question isn't new. It's been around since as long as death has been here, literally. But I want to get from the top of your hearts right now the quick response. Look at your outline. You hopefully got one when you came in. And what if you were given a very short time to live? Let's just go there, 3 or 4 weeks. And what would you do? Talk to me this morning. Give me something off the top of your head. Go. Okay, spread the word of God. Very good. Huh? Fam? Okay, go, guys, come on, help me.
Travel.
Travel, see a few things. Okay, good. Okay, we're back to right with God again. Good. Anyone traveling somewhere specifically? Okay, Israel, nice. Greece, Scotland, wow. To see the Northern Lights. Wow, bucket list for sure for me. Anyone else? Okay, beautiful. New Zealand, right? Any other challenging things you'd want to do? You got a month, man. You know for sure. What's going on?
Skydive.
Skydive. With parachute. Anyone else? That's a pretty good list. Bungee jump? Has anyone done any of those things in the room? Skydive, bungee jump, all right? I'm sure before you did it, you were thinking ahead of this could be it right here, all right? Think about it. Take time. For those of you who are listening online, I wanted to actually hear from everyone. And this week, I'm announcing the question. Psh, there it is. And fill it up, okay? There's a lot of social media talking about this series. This morning, I put some stuff on the Catalina discussion, Catalina events. Fill it in. This is what I would do, okay? I'd love to know what it is. In fact, I may use some of those. And I'm giving you an opportunity this week to think about your answer. I could actually give you 50 things that I would do. Because I've had a lot of time in the question this week, being honest with you. But I want you to consider your list. I don't want to give you any of mine, even though a little bit later on I am going to drop one on you. I want to compile those. I want to hear from you. And in this little series, I want you to be heard. Some of you are going to sit back even this afternoon and go, man, I really need to think more about that. Others have had this topic sitting with you for over a week and a half, and it's been hard. It's been hard for me, news on the island, good friends, and things that have hit very hard. Have you thought about it? Have you thought ahead? I think because also when I was a child, the reason I think about this a lot is I had a lot of near-death experiences, okay? I was lying in the middle of the street thinking one time after hanging out with my buddies, and this was in high school, and we were in front of the entire high school. Lunch was over, and they were waiting to go back in the classrooms. The three of us are walking down the middle of the street in the middle of the campus here, and I went to kick a rock with a very cool and professional soccer-style swing. I completely missed the rock, and my leg kept going. I was completely sideways in the air. With my back, I fell that way, hit my head. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life and probably one of the most painful I will ever forget. And I fell that way. One of my friends actually gave me my last rites as he's hanging over me. I'm like, oh, great, you know. Back up a few years as a tween, okay, and I flew off my bike more times than I could count. Literally. Twice I came off it, and my life should have just ended right there. Once, popping a wheelie on my friend's 10-speed. For those of you who understand 10-speeds in the 70s, early 70s, they had the handbrakes, not the pedal brakes. Are you with me? Okay. And so I go to use the pedal brakes, and I'm back on the same head that I mentioned earlier, laying in the street. But the worst was literally when I cleared a jump farther than expected, I broke through the front window of the house and landed in the living room. And it wasn't just a minor fall. There will be no pictures associated with this one. Just out of curiosity, how many grew up here riding on a Schwinn? Anyone? Schwinn people? Raise your hand. Okay, look around the room. For those of you looking around, those are the rich people, all right? Just so you know, all right, I had a third generation Schwinn. I had a Stingray with a banana seat, gooseneck handlebars. And so I was airborne right into the living room. And if you didn't own a Schwinn, what did you own? A Huffy. From Kmart, by the way. Okay. Proud Huffy users? Anyone? Yes. Look at the Huffy people in the room. Excellent. You had a Huffy too? That explains a lot. So anyway. Yeah. Laying there. I'm laying there on the floor. And, I need to mention this too. This was before the pre-mandatory helmet generation, all right? We didn't have helmets. You know, I'll save that for the sissy generation or the overprotective mom generations, whatever you want to call it. If I had a helmet, it would have been from like True Value Hardware Store, like a hard hat thing. We had no helmets, nothing. I mean, I'm laying there, and my friend's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "There's a pint of blood behind my head right now. Does that indicate I'm okay?" You know, he's like, "Well, I just want to make sure because we're supposed to fish this afternoon together." You know, I hung out with guys like this. Then my dad comes in, and he lifts me up. He's like, "Shake it off," you know. I'm like, "Dad, it's hard to shake off a coma, you know. This is what I grew up with." And I literally, Mom never thought I'd make it past 21, okay? And here's the deal. I don't know if I was okay or not back then. But eventually, I was okay. I mean, I guess I really wasn't dying. But as a kid, I was always in situations where I was afraid to die. Just constantly. Always in situations where I was getting hurt. Now as an adult, I'm not afraid to die at all. But if truth be told, I don't really like to talk about death that much. I just don't. I don't like to talk about it. I don't even like to think about it, if I'm honest. I just keep going. Just living. Okay? That's the deal. Anyone here like me? You just don't like to talk about that or the whole thing that has to do with it or think about it? Anyone? Raise your hand. Okay? We're not the majority in here, but we're definitely not alone. Yeah. Even though we don't like to talk about it, the reality is it's coming our way. It is. Death is inevitable, no matter how rich, how powerful, or how successful you are. Mortality is the great equalizer. William Buffett, Bill Gates, Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump. Guess what? They're all living on limited time, just like all of us here. Okay? Several of my relatives passed away in 2018. And I was stunned by so much death in my family. Literally eight relatives over the course of this just everything I saw in this last year. I didn't see it coming. It fast-forwarded my thinking to a depth I hadn't experienced before. I began to think about my own life, my own legacy, my own meaning, my own purpose. I began to think about how really temporal life is. And that really sunk it into a deeper level for me. As a matter of fact, those of you under 40, raise your hand, okay? Please, okay? And for the others in this room that are looking next to you and thinking, "You're not under 40, all right?" You make them raise your hand. Okay, good. I thought I was invincible. When I was under 40, I never thought about it. I'm going to be flat honest with you. I just went and went hard. I literally thought I'd live to be 100. My grandmother did it. I'm thinking, I did it. She drank Coca-Cola and lived. I can do that too. And I'm just thinking, I've got this, which seems so far away. But I just turned 50, and my life is half over. I mean, I'm in the second season of my life, and it just seems like yesterday I was popping wheelies. You know what wheelies are? New generation? You know what wheelies are? Okay, good. Just checking. Anybody relate to this stuff I'm talking about? Yes. Time flies. That's a cute phrase, but it's not true. Time doesn't fly. It's a fallacy. Time is really one of the very few constants that we have in life that you can rely on time. Inflation doesn't affect time. 5 minutes today is the same as 5 minutes 20 years ago, same as 5 minutes 20 years in the future. It's all the same, but it does tick away. And as it ticks away, we can never get it back. Look at your outline. Killer verse right here. James 4, I love this verse. It says this: "How do you know what will happen tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog." If you saw some of that yesterday, it was epic. "It's here a little while, then it's gone." That's a nice, bright, cheery verse, isn't it? Whoa. What's it saying? It's saying, pay attention to how short life is. Instead of blaming time like it flies, like time has a will of its own, and it's time's job to torture us, we need to take responsibility. Be good stewards of the time that God's given us here. If you're anything like me, and I know you are, you need help with this. That's why this is not from me today. This is from Scripture. Psalm 90, let's dive there. And the psalmist says this: "Teach us, please, to to make the most of time, so that we can grow in wisdom. Really, that's what this whole series is about. Fully alive. It's about God teach us to make us think about what matters most. How can we make the most of our time and not waste it? This is limited time that you're given here on earth. Matter of fact, I've taken this verse and I've rewritten it into a prayer, okay? Andrew's paraphrase prayer. This is the prayer of the series. God, help us to identify the true values in life. What matters most? Then give us the power to spend our time on those values. I had a close friend, a lot of you did also, just passed away here in the last couple weeks. I really wish my last words to him would have been those. Okay? Instead, I'll see you later. Talk to you later. I just wish I'd have burned that in. I want you to hear this morning. I want this to go. I have no idea how much time any of us in this room have. So know this. God, help us to identify the true values of what matters most. Give us the power to spend our time on those values. And without knowing what the values are, without knowing what matters most, most of us in here will default to living the world's values. World's values. Really, when you look at people's lives, they either live the world's values or God's. It's one or the other. That's really what it comes down to. Without really having a prayer, we're begging God to help us identify values and live by God's values, but we're going to default to the world's. We want this from God, but we're not praying for this, earnestly seeking this. So, Paul gets into it. We're not the only ones that went through this. This has been going on for some time now. And Paul looks at this group of Thessalonians and this Thessalonica church, and he says to these people, some were living the world's values, some were living God's. Look at it in your notes there. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3, we hear that some of you are living idle lives. Whoa. Refusing to work. Wasting time. Meddling in other people's business. Thessalonica? Oh my gosh, sounds like Avalon there, right? Huh? Maybe not, I don't know. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. No, we command them. Settle down. Get to work. Earn your own living. I say to the rest of you, you brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Okay? If you were to study this passage, okay? What you'd see is that he's given a slap on one hand to one group and an encouragement pat to the other, okay? And there were those who were wasting their time and those who were making good choices with their time. It's one or the other in this room right now. And I highlighted a couple phrases. I just want to unpack a little bit more. That's it. We hear that some of you, when I read that, I just thought about our church. I mean, the church, not just this congregation here, okay? Avalon. I thought about people here, whether it's your first time or you've been coming a million years, okay? What are people saying about your life? Y'all catch that? One more time for our 11 o'clock audience here. What are people saying about your life? Are you living your life as if it's newsworthy of some sort? Not that you go about bragging or self-promoting. No, I'm just saying that if somebody has to write a letter about your life, what would they say? We hear that you are wasting your life. We hear that you are making great decisions with your time. We hear that you know what matters most and you're pursuing that with passion as opposed to living idle, which he talks about here. Okay, let's take a look at this idle stuff, idle lives. At first thought, when you think about idle life, first thing you're going to think is, yeah, whoa, this doesn't apply to me. This is Southern California, Pastor Dude. Okay? I mean, we got the movers and shakers here. This is where it all goes down. Everybody on the East Coast is watching everybody on the West Coast. We set the pace for the country. We got this down, man. Cruise ship day, no problem. Bring it. We have plenty of pace, plenty of moves and grooves, and the skills to pay the bills. We're so busy. But my question is, are all of your moves important ones? In all of your business, are you busy to just be busy with what matters most? The word idle is a little confusing here. And I spent over half a day diving onto this. As soon as you hear idle, you think somewhat like stable. I do, okay? Or settling, or setting, not moving, or even slothful, okay? Some of us, when you think of idle. But in another translation of the same verse, okay, good stuff here from NIV, it doesn't use the word idle, it uses the word busybody. It actually does. Some of you are holding the NIV right now, you're going, yep, that's what it says. You are busybodies. What's a busybody? A lot of movement.
No substance.
But a lot of movement. The wheels are spinning, but the golf cart's not progressing. Kind of like this week when it was pouring rain, I was trying to go up Country Club Road. I'm just going nowhere, all right? Just drifting side by side. Busybodies. Just busy, but not with what matters most. Are you checked? Y'all nod your heads. You with me? Okay? Good. All right. Anybody in here know busybodies? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Wow, that's a lot. Seems to identify with a lot in Southern California. Okay? Maybe even a personal moment here, a little honest reflection. And could that describe you? Me? Yeah? You're given the illusion of busyness because some way in our society we mess things up to think that busy is the norm. It's what we got to be. It's how my dad was. So my drivenness is explained by his drivenness. Maybe it's not an illusion. Maybe you are going nuts legitimately and out of control busy. But are you really putting your time into what matters most? I mean, more than a paycheck? Are you pursuing the values you would pursue if you had a few weeks to live? I just brought it back home there. That's what we need to do. So put it under that question. And the encouraging pat on the bottom is when he says, never get tired of doing good. The Apostle Paul is writing to people who were doing good, who were right with God. They were focusing on what matters most. He did not want them to be tempted to go to the busyness route. He said, don't do that. I want you to care for the things that matter. He saw danger that they would grow weary and become indifferent to what matters most. And I warn you guys, you are right around the corner. And basically, Super Bowl Sunday is where it all goes down. We are right around the corner to where we get into that weariness of pretense. It is about to get nuts around here. And if you don't believe me, take a week where it's in the mid to low 50s, pouring down rain and wind to an 80-degree feeling day yesterday. And, I mean, it went from one to the other. It felt like July yesterday. It's even beautiful out today, right? That quick is how quick it changes in this town from rest and peace to all-out crazy 22,000 people running around. And it's July 4th parade before you know it. Okay? Prepare. Think about it. Think about it. To live like you're dying. If we were to live like we're dying. Think of the crystal clarity that we would get. If you knew that you were dying, you'd immediately identify what matters most. It wouldn't take you a day. You would go there right now. You would get your ducks in order. And you would bring things underneath. What is it right now? You know how to prioritize your time. You would seize the day. If you were to live like you were dying, no matter where you were spiritually, guess what?
and over again on this video, I heard it. Front row heard it. I would draw closer to God. I'm about to meet him. I realize that that's not the goal of everybody here, okay? And I'm super thankful that you've made it here this morning, if that's not you. I realize that everyone is here for something, but not everybody is here to grow closer to God. Some of you just came because of a friendship, and you were invited. Some of you are dating someone, or you're forced to be here by a parent. Whatever it is, you're here, and you made it, okay? But that may not be your reason to draw closer to God. But you probably would be thinking about that. Okay? If that describes you and you're sitting amongst people who are at different places, you know, in their spiritual journey, some of you are here because you're curious. And they're investigating. They're seeking God. Or they're asking questions. I just want to say to you, thank you for the courage of being here this morning. Okay? Thank you. Don't stop. Keep asking questions. If you know, you play one round of golf and you messed up three or four holes, it's not a bad day. Play another round. Give this a shot. Keep thinking about it. If something doesn't quite make sense, continue pursuing God. It'll come together. I can just assure you that your pursuit will not end empty. If there is a God, and there is, what does it mean to my life? Maybe that's your question. Some have drifted from God. You know him, but you've been in cruise mode and just kind of cruising off to the side. Kind of like Pandora regular instead of Pandora premium. You ever got that, right? I had both. Pandora premium stays right on the song selection or right on the station you've got. But if you don't pay for that and you get all the commercials that come with the other stuff, it kind of drifts, doesn't it? It drifts from the original thing. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. You have an artist, and all of a sudden you're listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary from whatever, and you had Nat King Cole on over here or whatever, and it's just like, well, how did this happen? And you're looking at this in a relationship with God going, I love him. Where did I check out? Or how did I get off on this exit ramp? I'm not needing to stay here anymore. But you know it. And so you on-ramp back towards him. Some of you have said yes to God. You stepped across the line. You actually have a deep faith. But when it comes to applying your faith in Vons, maybe the cafe down there at Metropole, or you know, you're just kind of cruising through at the brew house there, in a relationship and everyday life, you're struggling. You don't really have anyone that you can sit down knee to knee, eye to eye, and really talk over things that matter. I feel for you. I've been there. And I could be there tomorrow if I'm not prayed up. We need those in our lives. We need those people in our lives. And still, there's others in this room. You're committed. I mean, today you're on fire. You heard about Fully Alive and you're like, oh, I'm there. Bring it. Okay? Totally committed. You love Jesus. You're after him. What I want to say to you is no matter where you are spiritually, this whole thing with this Fully Alive challenge, it starts where you are. When I invite people, I simply say, you're welcomed as you are. Don't do anything. You don't got to go down in buoys and gulls and get a whole new outfit to come in here. Just stay who you are, where you're at. Just come. And because I want you to see how this thing ends, and it's very different, okay? Let's go after how to get there. And let's turn to this being real practical. Because when that microphone doesn't go to one of these people that had some very corny answers, there was, you know, I want to party, right? The look on the guy's face when he said party, you know, didn't fit him, you know, or I want to go nuts with my money, whatever it is. If someone shoved a mic in your face right now, I just wonder how serious it would be. Have you taken a moment? Look under big picture on your outline, okay? So on your outline, it says big picture there. And what I want you to write down is the big picture of all of this is determined to live life with passion. I know you can throw in intensity in there, but just check it off for a minute. Just push it to the side. Passion, okay? Big picture. What is passion? A lot of people put it synonymous with excitement. It's not, okay? Excitement comes and goes. Yesterday, I was super excited about our team kicking butt on a team that they really needed to beat and beat well. It was a great league win. A chunk of the town were there. Anybody see the Lady Lancers yesterday? All right, they were on fire. I was so excited for the team until after my final speech, and then I realized we play Monday, Tuesday, Friday, doubleheader Saturday. This is the week of some of those difficult challenges. The girls get almost no rest. And I was like, happy, sad, happy, sad. You know, I was just back and forth, all right? And you can't put excitement in there. That's me. I love to get excited. But it's gone, and that's not passion. Passion's deeper. Passion bubbles up in your soul. It's what you live for. It's what you get up in the morning for. Passion recognizes that life is short. I've got some time here, and I'm going to accomplish something here. It's meant to live the way God designed it. That's why this word can't really be replaced by any other word. It embraces a bigger picture of life. You recognize that life here is temporal. It's got a temporary feel in the light of eternity. That's the way this whole thing feels. Passion acknowledges that life is best lived, believe it or not, when it's given away. It appears when one is close to God. Draw near to God, and you will find a passionate person. Find someone who is close to God, you will see a very passionate person. They live that way. As a communicator, a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, whatever, okay? It's very difficult for me to try to make this a practical point. It's very difficult, okay? That's why I'm saying it's big picture. Listen to me carefully. I want to make sure I'm very clear on this. The big picture. You've got to determine to live your life with passion. I can't coach you on how to live with passion. I'd give anything to stand back there as you're leaving today and just kiss your feet and, you know, beg you. I can't do that. I can't say, get up in the morning, listen to Tony Robbins, walk on hot coal, greet people like you're amped up on triple espresso. I can't do any of that. Okay, your finding passion has got to be up to you, and you must discover time with God being a high priority. Once again, you draw close to God, you become very passionate. All that other stuff I just mentioned, that's fake. That's fake. It'll last you for a while, but it's fake. Passion wakes up when you understand what matters most. Passion appears when you're in pursuit of what matters most. So the question is, am I? Am I living life with passion? And you've got to decide that. Start there. Am I living life with passion? Yes or no? And you may not be looking at me right now, but I sure hope that you're listening and looking at your notes, thinking, where does God want me to look in my soul right now? Am I doing this? Yes or no? Then let's go to me. Okay? That's the practical part right here. Define my short-term values. What are they? Let's put the big picture off to the side, like whether I'm going to live my life with passion or not. Let me start here. I'm going to define my short-term values. Okay? If you do this, this is going to help you move the ball down the field so much clearly. Okay? A lot faster. This is going to help you not just be the busybody, and, you know, this will help you get the wheels spinning and you're actually going somewhere. Okay? Outline. Look at it. What would you do if you literally did have 1 month to live? That's why this video was so powerful. Because some of you saw yourself up there going, yep, that's me. Oh, family? Me. You know, do this, prepare, help my daughter get where she wants to be in life, and then, you know, kick the bucket. That's me right there. You're nodding with a lot of what you hear in there. First of all, you'd make sure it wasn't February, okay? You want to have a couple of extra days in there. So February's coming, so think very carefully. you'd make a list. Make a list. This is a practical part. I want to ask you to do this week. Listen to me. Don't blow me off this week. Make a list. Put it in the notes section of your phone if it's easier because you're, you know, traveling or you're on a boat. 65 minutes going one way, that's a great time to make a list. Type it up. Write it down. Everything you would do. Okay? Big list. This goal of this list is to help you determine what matters most. When we started the service, I asked you to throw a few things out at me, and they were good. It's going to take some time. It's not homework. It's life work. And I want you to ease into this. And here's the deal why, okay? When I wrote down my big list, literally I came up with 50 things. That's a big list. But, okay, then I took some time and I rewrote a shorter list. I actually circled the ones that if I'm going to continue to live, which is my goal, okay, thank you, which of these could I play daily right now in my life? I left some ones on the longer list. They were just frivolous or would make me bankrupt or just kill me sooner. And that, you know, that's not cool. Does that make sense? All right? Does that make sense? A shorter list from the longer list. Like one of them, if I knew I had 1 month to live, I would, you know, I would eat 24 hot glazed Krispy Kreme donuts every single day. All right? But if I had one, that's not realistic. My body would explode. And that's great, but I'm just saying a shorter, realistic list. There was one on there. I would quit my job, okay? And don't get me wrong, I love being a pastor here, all right? It's great. But emails, all right, and meetings, you know? No, okay? Coaching, probably not. I've got some high things. I'm running out of time. I might write an Andrew is Dying sermon, and I hope you would come to hear that, but I'd keep all that stuff on the longer list. Longer list, okay? Longer list. Once you have your one-month values, it's going to be a little bit more of this shorter list. Here it is. Now, that shorter list becomes the object of your passion. Those become clear. Those become concise. I hope that when I'm speaking to the 11:30 audience here, you guys understand this is practical stuff. Long list, short list, there's your values. That's what you look at. And once you have these, it's clear, it's concise. And I'll give you an example, that one that made it on my shorter list. Okay? And I heard it earlier. And it is to give full attention to my family. And I know that that's good and it's very broad. Okay? Nothing becomes more motivating until it gets specific. Did y'all catch that? You got to get specific. I can say to my soccer team, play soccer! And they'll be like, what? You know? Sure. You know, and they just run around in circles, and when a ball comes, like a beehive, you know, or I could say, this is how you play soccer. You hold your position. Here's what the positions look like. This is the proper method for swinging. This is how you defend, right? Now you can play soccer. Specifics are needed so that you can understand what it means to be motivated. So with each of these that you write down, you go to the next question. Here it is. How can I specifically pursue all of these values with the way that I'm living right now? The way I'm currently living, what my lifestyle looks like right now, I want to see my way clearly. We need to see our way clearly. What direction are we going on? Okay? Andy Stanley, years ago, had a great sermon. I was with about 1,000 teenagers at this really cool summer thing. And he was talking about direction, not intention, will help you reach your destination. Good stuff, Stanley, right? And I just burnt that one into my soul, and you know, I forgot I even had teenagers. I walked away like, yes, sir, I will. I really was blown away. What direction am I heading? Because I'm pretty intentional. But if I'm not wanting this direction in my life, I'm never going to get to the destination that I want. Kind of like having a visional type strategic leader and a strategic leader, right? One says, I see your vision, but your direction is not where you're headed. The other with strategy says, I see your vision, and let's move it towards this direction to get you where you want to be. Both are necessary, but you surround yourself with someone strategic. You surround yourself with someone visionary. You've got yourself a plan that's going to go forward, okay? I want to know, literally, where I'm headed with this whole deal about my family. We're all in a different lifestyle age here. My current lifestyle is I'm a husband. I'm a father of soon-to-be 4 young adults, okay? Technical name for that stage is nuts. Crazy, all right? That's a great photo of my son right there, 20, 25 years old, nuts, okay? But that may not be you. For you, you may be single. You might be an empty nester. You might be in college. I got a group of beautiful high schoolers right here. Whatever it is, how can I specifically pursue these values with my current lifestyle, the way that I'm living? So when you get this, And I'll give you an exact example out of my list. Give full attention to my family, all right? Then I want to make that specific, so I wrote down this. I would literally look to see what my attention to my family currently looks like. For instance, I would ask follow-up questions to their answers. Instead of saying, how was your day? Good. Cool. And go sit by the fireplace with my milk and cookies. I would say, why? How? What made it good? Or it sucked. Why? Well, how, why did it suck? You okay? What's going on? Follow-up questions. I need to shut down my internal dialogue of answering their questions before they do. Oh, that's nice. And just keep cruising through. I just need to learn to be a better listener. That would be full attention. Get it? Get it? Pay full attention to my family? That would be full attention. Follow-up questions. Getting my agenda out of the way and genuinely setting aside time to care for them and hear them. I'm putting myself on the spot here, okay? But I need to do that better. I don't mind telling the congregation that. I got work to do there. I'm busy. And I need to drop that stuff. Number two, don't talk on the phone when anyone in my family is around. I hate that. I hate it, and sometimes it's necessary. I need to just cruise to another room, go outside on the balcony or out front. But when my family's around, it annoys me. Don't get on the laptop until after my kids have gone to bed, literally. I got lots of sermon stuff that I can do, but I seem to want to get it done, you know? And they're hanging out. Everyone's around or on their phones. That drives me nuts. I'm guilty of my phone. It could be my laptop. Do a lot of work on here all the time. I need to use that time I have with them. I told my daughter the other day, in a jar of marbles, you could count how many are left with the number of weekends we have together before you head off to college. And it was like, thanks, Dad, you know. But instead, I was telling myself that. That was directed towards me. I needed to hear that. With my wife, Shelley, I think to choose conversation with her over relaxation for me. You know, she likes to check out early. She's a school teacher. And I'm not, you know. I'm getting going right about the time she's wanting to hit the sack and tired. And I think it matters to me. It's so much easier to choose to kick back and realize that my wife is a little different maybe than most women with her job. I don't know. She likes to talk to me about stuff, and it takes a while to break into that. I don't fully get it, but I wrote it down. I need to fight for that. And I'm heading into 28, 29 years of marriage here. It does not get easier. It's something that continually takes work. And on my end, I've got room here. I've got room here. I'm putting myself out here. This is really dangerous right now. But I have to. Why? Because I'm answering this question legitimately and being specific and concise. Number five, last one I put in there is, here we go. Say yes to all the dad, do you want to, questions. Dad, you want to play catch? Say yes. Dad, you want to go to the pool? Yeah. Dad, you want to get in your room and leave me and my friends and alone? Okay, yes. You know, you want to, whatever it is, yes, as much as you can think about it. These types of things, don't waste your life. Jump on it. Once you identify these actions, it's going to fulfill those one-month values. Then you move to the next question. This is it. It says, what might need to change, oh gosh, to do this consistently? Put a little star by that question. Okay? In fact, just prick your finger and put a little dab of blood next to that question. All right? Pretty serious. Don't waste your time here. That's the most difficult question. It's the one thing to have this list. These would be my fully alive values, and isn't it cute to write them down? And then this is what I've got to change so that I live my life as if I'm dying. This is what has to change. That's a big one. Okay? One of them looks good. The other's nitty gritty. I need to turn my phone off. I'm not an expert on phones, but I read in the Wall Street Journal that the phones made here in the 20th century do have an off button. Wow, really? Yeah. Need to use that. Those of you who love to wear those little earpiece things, you know, around town, there's like five people in town, I see them wearing it. So, what's the deal? Okay. When you're driving, maybe. I get it, on the highway, but come on. It's Avalon, okay? Answering these questions, it's hard work. It's life work. It'll guide you how to spend your most valuable currency, which is time. Define my 1 month's values. Let's go to God's peace. Let's go to God's peace. What are we talking about here? I want you to write down, depend on God's power entirely. Some of you in this room, this one right here is a fastball down the middle. I want you to knock this out of the park. I'm letting you know, here comes a fastball down the middle. Bottom of the ninth, two men on. Just, you know, get back in your stance and crank this thing out of the park, please. Here it is. It's not up to you. You literally let go. To live out these values, it is not your power. I determine I'm going to live with passion. I want to do this. Well, guess what? I depend on God's power and not just mine to get through these values. Friends, the whole concept of fully alive isn't new at all. You've done this before. Maybe you haven't done it in a sermon series. I don't know. But you've done it before when you sat at a funeral. You know you have. Okay? Think about it. Where do you go when you're sitting at a funeral? Where? You go quiet. You grieve. You think about where you go when it's your time. I want you to think right now where you go mentally when you're sitting at a funeral. Where do you go? What does it look like? But in the quietness of that funeral, I guarantee you this one thing, and I've been there many times in this last year, you resolve to be different. You make decisions there. You make some things you want to change about yourself. You might even leave the funeral and grab your phone and call a loved one right off the bat. A family member, a friend, somebody like that. You might even change for a day or two, but then guess what? And I'm going to say it. You go right back into the same way you were living before. Just as busy. Why? Because it was up to your power to do it and not God's power to do it. Are you tracking with me? I got to do this. I can make this happen. I will make this happen. That will not be me. Careful. Why is it that that resolve fades? It's an easy answer. It's up to you all of a sudden and not up to God. And I know this because I've played spiritual ping pong back and forth with the power of God and most of my life. And my power is not enough to help me pursue what matters most. Not when there's kids involved. I don't even know what's going on with them. Jeez, much less being a man. Now I've got to be a father. Back and forth. It's up to me. No, it's not. It's up to me. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm just going to get burned every time. To be successful in what we're talking about in this series, you got to be willing to move from willpower to real power. Depend on God to help you define and achieve some of these things we're talking about in the areas of life. I'm talking about time management, key relationships, finances, career, if you're single and love life or non and you don't have a love life, perhaps. I don't know. For me, in my own life, a little piece of my own testimony is a critical transformation took place literally when I was reading the Bible one day and I realized that I had all of God's power available to me. I read it. It just kind of out of nowhere hit me. It's happened to my son too. If you're not reading Scripture, you're going to have a long way to decide this or find it on your own. Scripture is the key. The answer is there. It's limitless power. I've seen all these cheesy movies. It is. God's power is limitless. It is available to you. The entire kingdom is available to you. You are a child of the King. Let that sink in. Let that empower you. Listen to this preaching this morning. You are a child of the King. Jesus came and he said, "You are mine. And everything that's been given to me, I give to you. Walk where I walk. Navigate life the way I navigate. My power to rescue your life can help rescue another's life. Use it. It'll help you focus on what matters most, Andrew. God's power is available to you to live life, the life you were created to live." And I read that and I believe that. And my life changed because of that. I found it in Scripture. You will too. No scripture, it's a long road of discovery. That's a shortcut. It's available to you. God will give you all the power you need to pursue what matters most. Ephesians 1. It's Paul's prayer, but it's also my prayer to Avalon Community Church. I pray that you'll begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Philippians takes us, says, for me to live, living is for Christ. Dying, even better. It's saying the same power that defeated death is available to me. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead on Easter morning is available to you. Amen? Some of you are waiting on that. Just let that vent valve come out and say amen like holy cow. The same power that created this incredible playground that you are in on Catalina, it's gorgeous right here, is available to you to depend on. It's the power to help you live your life with meaning. But there is a condition to this. Did anybody catch it? Anybody? Did you catch it? Power is available to those who believe in him. That's it right there. Now, don't check out on me. Listen carefully. If you're here and you're not a believer, that might sound like bad news. But it's bad news that can be changed instantly to good news if you believe in him. All you've got to do is say yes to him. Open your heart. Say, yes, God, I believe you can come into my life. You can forgive my sins. I believe that you can restore this broken relationship that we've had. And I believe I can be connected to you. I don't fully understand it, but what faith I have, I say, yes, I believe. And guess what? Your power's out of the way. You have just relinquished that, and you say, God, it's your power, and it's up to you. You walk out of here with access to God's power. That's pretty doggone awesome. Amen. I didn't ask you, but you know it is. Let's summarize. Live like you're dying. The big idea of this whole message. When you understand that life is temporary, it keeps you focused on what matters most. Friends, what matters most is not how to figure out how to adding years to your life, but how to add life to your years. Imagine with me, if I live like I'm dying, how my life would be different. Just pause for a second and think, if you were to live like you're dying, you were able to identify these values, and you would make those time decisions based on values, you would look at everyone differently. You would gain a passion for living. The beauty is those around you and their lives would be changed as a result of your life. I love this message. But it hurts to know that list has not been reached by me. But I've been given time. I've been given another chance, and so have you. Make your list. Take it serious. Gain a passion for living. Approach God with a tenderness, a vulnerability, because you'd be in anticipation to see him soon. If you were to put this into play, your character would change, your focus would change, your words would change, your life would change, and others around you would also change. Our worship team can come up. There's more. There's more. On your outline, there are a ton of scriptures on the bottom. Those scriptures matter. Please, if you need a place to get started, why go anywhere else? Please don't go to a self-help book. You know, it's great, but go to the book. There's no other book like it. It's inspired, it's infallible, it's accurate. It's God's letter. It's everything you need from his heart to yours. And I added some extra scriptures there, which next week we're going to beat up and tear down. It's going to be beautiful. But you can start now. I mean, why wait till next week? So put those in there. Let's pray. Friends, I ask, can you see yourself taking these steps? I can. I can see you doing it. As we pray, let's just take care of first things first. you've never said yes to God, if you've never invited Him into your life, I would encourage you to do that with more passion than I could ever show. I want to encourage you to say whatever is on your heart to God. You don't got to attend a class. You don't got to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. In the silence of your heart, say, God, I want to believe in you. I want that power that this guy's talking about. I don't fully understand it, but as much as I understand, I say yes to you. You are in charge of my life. And for the rest of us that have already had a relationship with God, I encourage you to just ask God, give me the power to depend on you. Help me to define and determine what matters most so that I might spend my life guided by what matters most. God, thanks for your love for us. That your love for us isn't based on what we look like or how much money we have or what we drive. Your love is based on the fact that you created us. You're drawing us to you. I just want to be near you. All of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.